Brunn called on an open line, direct to the desk at Harris's hostel.
Captain Serrano?
Harris sensed others listening to the overspill from the speaker. So much for talent.
Have you seen my blue jewel case?
I beg your pardon.
This is Bubbles, Bunny's daughter. When we were on Lady Cecilia's yacht, I had my blue jewel case, and now I can't find it. It's not at Cerealis, and it's not here. It must be on the yacht. Would you please look in the stateroom I was using and send it to me?
For a moment, Harris wondered if Brunn had gone mad, or if she'd given up the change of name and gone back to being a fluffhead. How could she be worrying about a jewel case with Cecilia in the hospital in a coma?
I'm sorry. Lady Cecilia's yacht is empty. Everything was removed to storage because the yacht was to be redecorated, but now...
Oh, but I need it. I always wear that necklace at the family reunion, and it's next week. And if I don't wear it, Mother will want to know why, and...
I'm sorry.
A glimmer of understanding broke through her irritation. If Brunn was really that devious, she might indeed have talent.
You'd have to get into the storage facility, and I don't know, I...
Oh, I'll come up there. They'll have to let me in. You can introduce me. It's not like I'm a criminal or anything. I just want my own blue jewel case, and I just know where I must have left it. In the second drawer from the bottom in that bedside chest.
Harris shook her head for the benefit of the listeners in the hostel lounge.
But I'm not sure. I don't think they'll let anyone but Lady Cecilia's agent...
Oh, but you are her agent. You can do it. I know you can. I'll be up there in, let's see, late tonight. I'll call.
The rich are different from you and me.
They think they are. Can you believe? She thinks she left something aboard Lady Cecilia's yacht months ago and expected me to retrieve it. Of course everything's in sealed storage. Of course they aren't going to let her into it.
Who is she?
Lord Thornbuckle's youngest daughter. They call her Bubbles.
Ah, I've heard of her. They will let her in. Bet you they do. Likely her father owns the company that owns the company that owns them. Might as well cooperate with that kind.
In person, Brunn had indeed reverted to the fluffhead Bubbles. Her blonde hair, brushed into a wild aureole, had been tinted pink at the ends. She wore an outfit of pink and lime green, which Harris assumed was an extreme of fashion. Bright, clattering bracelets covered both arms to the elbow. Harris recognized the tension around the eyes that didn't fit the wide smile.
Oh, Captain Serrano, I'm simply devastated. I have to have that necklace.
Harris couldn't bring herself to call the girl Bubbles, but Brunn would break the fluffhead cover.
Nice to see you again, miss. I've checked with the storage company. They will meet with you main shift tomorrow. Perhaps you could give me a few more details. They thought the chests in that stateroom had all been empty.
Oh, of course. Let's go eat somewhere. I'm starved. I'm sure the food's better at my hotel.
And Brunn turned away, clearly someone who expected flunkies to do as they were told. Harris saw the amused glances of the others in the lounge and gave them a wry grin as she followed Brunn out into the concourse. Cecilia's first sensory impression was smell. Not a pleasant scent, but a sharp, penetrating stink she associated with fear and pain. After a timeless rummage through the back shelves of memory, her mind decided it was medicinal, and that probably meant she was in a doctor's office. Gradually, over time she could not guess, she became aware of pressure. She lay on her back. She could feel the contact between a firm surface and her shoulders and her buttocks. She was less sure of her arms and legs, and in trying to feel their position, realized in one stab of panic that she could not move. Her mind rattled around the vast dark space it sensed and reminded her of other unpleasant awakenings. The 18th fence at Warren, that bad drop that she'd misjudged in the mud. The time a new prospect had gone completely berserk under a roofed jump and nearly killed her. She wondered what it had been this time. She couldn't quite remember.
An event? Training? Fox hunting?
Oddly, she couldn't even remember the horse, even any horse she'd worked recently. No one asked her name or what had happened. No one spoke to her at all. A bad sign, that. She knew it from times she'd sat waiting outside for a hurt friend. A few of the technical terms sounded familiar. BP and cardiac function and perfusion. If she didn't know what they meant, she knew they meant something. But others... Her mind tried to grasp the unfamiliar syllables, but they slipped away. DMEL something and something about selective pathways and neuromuscular dis something. The drug names she didn't expect to know, but she knew the voices discussed things to be put in this line or that. A hard pressure against her arm, at least she knew now that her arm was up there, not down here, might be an injection. It didn't hurt. Nothing hurt, and that scared her. If you didn't hurt, something really big was wrong. The longer it didn't hurt, the worse it was. If it was really bad, her mind shied away from the idea of spinal cord injury, brain injury, you would never hunt again, but that was worst. Sometimes even regeneration tanks wouldn't work on central nervous system injuries. If she could move something, she struggled, first to decide what to move, and then to move. An eyelid. She felt no movement, and the darkness did not lift.
A bit of excess activity there.
Had she managed a movement she did not feel? She tried again.
Another 10th cc of motor inhibition, and increase the primary decoupler 1 cc an hour.
Inhibition? Decoupler?
Just as the additional drugs pushed her beneath the surface of thought again, her mind made all the connections and nearly exploded in panic. No accident at all. Someone had done this to her, on purpose, and she had no way to summon help.
Damn, I was stupid. Harris was right. Hope she figures it out.
She woke again to the same medical ward smells, the same darkness, the same inability to move or speak.
Hopeless, I'm afraid. There's been no change at all. Nothing in the brain scans. But look, here's the first. Massive intracranial bleed, typical cerebral accident. Probably all those years of riding, with repeated small concussions, caused significant weakening of the vascular attachments here and here.
Someone else was here, not a medical person. Someone who wanted to know if she was going to get well. Someone who cared. If she could only make a sound, a small movement, anything.
Now, you can see the monitors yourself. If we use a strong aversive stimulus...
Acrid fumes stung her nose. Her brain screamed, danger, poison, run.
You see a very slight reaction in the brainstem, there. The fourth line. But she doesn't move. I can open an eye...
She felt the pressure on her eyelid, felt the movement across the eye itself, but saw nothing.
No change in pupil size, no response here. Cortical blindness. There's no evidence of auditory response, no indication of higher cortical functions.
Couldn't you have operated on the bleed with all your facilities?
Too diffuse, I'm sorry. We think branches of both cerebral arteries failed at once. As if she's been repeatedly bludgeoned, but of course... That wasn't the cause. I still think the years of riding had something to do with it, but I can't prove it. I've sent for her scans after the previous accidents.
Could it have been a result of poisoning?
Yes, good man, smart man. Of course it was poisoning.
I doubt it. There are neurotoxins, of course, that mimic natural strokes, but the evidence from her scans is clear. This is bleeding.
I didn't mean that it wasn't bleeding. I wondered if someone had induced the bleeding with a poison. Perhaps a blood thinner or something of that sort.
According to her record, she wasn't taking any medication of that sort, and I don't know if they analyzed her blood for that in the hospital that first night. They should have, of course. I just presumed that if it were a drug, it would be in the records when she was transferred here.
So she had been somewhere else... and was now who knew where. She wondered where she'd been when she first woke up. Was that the original hospital? Had it been the big downtown one or the upper-class clinic near her sister's house?
The thing is, the family are concerned that she might have been under... undue influence, as it were, of someone. Until the formal proceedings, we cannot be sure. But the date of her last testamentary revision suggests that something happened recently... if there should be an unforeseen bequest, and if that individual had exerted undue influence, then there would have been...
Motivation to cause her harm. I see, precisely.
Damn! The fool! The utter incompetent fool! Now, whoever did this has a chance to blame it on the one person it couldn't be, and this stupid lawyer, it has to be a lawyer, just gave them everything they need.
But that's another problem, and what we really need from you, Doctor, is your assessment of prognosis. Is Lady Cecilia going to recover competency or not? And if so, when? We have petitions of incompetency.
As I said originally, we cannot hold out much hope of recovery. I would hate to be hasty, but my professional opinion is that irreversible brain damage has occurred, and I would be willing to present the evidence to a court. Although I see no reason for haste.
The statutes prescribe the waiting periods, Doctor. It has been 30 days.
30 days? 30 days!
And petitions may be presented, although, of course, no final action will be taken just yet. It is curious, isn't it, that with so much damage, she requires no life support?
Unusual, but quite easily explained. You see here, on this shot, the bleeds stopped short of areas regulating breathing, for instance. It's quite likely that she will live out her normal span.
Without rejuvenation treatments?
Oh, certainly. We couldn't recommend rejuvenation for someone in her condition. No, indeed.
Normal span, her mind calculated. At least another 10 years, maybe 20. If she didn't get pneumonia, if she didn't catch a virus, if whoever had done this didn't simply kill her. And why hadn't they killed her? Why this? Did someone know she was still alive, aware inside? And was that person gloating over her suffering? If Harris's wicked admiral had been alive, she could have believed that of him.
I thought I saw a movement, a tremor.
It's nothing. Random discharges in peripheral nerves. She's due to be turned again to prevent pressure sores. Even in these special beds, and they do have tremors sometimes. Breakdown products, perhaps, of the damage.
I see.
She had heard and understood. If their damned scans were any good, they'd know she could hear and understand. Had they bothered to look lately? Or were they lying and displaying fake scans for anyone who visited? 30 days. She'd been here for 30 days? Where was Harris? What had happened to the prince?
The Serrano Legacy, Sporting Chance, is continued on the next CD.